So we're going to go, we learn about that. We're going to learn about the Ark of the Covenant. That is an Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. And the neat thing about with the temple is that in this life, holy am I, holy, 1 Peter 1:15-16, even as written, holy you shall be, for I am holy. Separate yourself. It's up to us. We have freedom of will whether we're going to be holy or not. It doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation, but we might not have anything in common with Yahweh that day or that week. He's not speaking to you. But if you circumcise yourself, just like with that temple, there was no Ruach Kodesh. Yahweh wasn't there until they fell upon their knees. Now you go to the temple right there. Who's in that temple now? Not Yahweh. They rejected His Son. But you are the temple. We're just talking about these things. It's the purpose. In Christ, in Yahweh, and this is not on the teaching, it said the sacred secret that had the adversaries, had the rulers of the age know they wouldn't kill Jesus Christ. That's you. It's me being a part of this secret weapon nobody knew about. It's called the body of Christ. You'll get a lot more if you sit over here so you can see this. Because if you don't see it,
here, there's room.
I got lots of room.
I have to stay on point. Once I start talking, I start going all over the place. You guys know what Ruah is, right? What's Ruah? The Spirit. Ha, the Kodesh is holy. Ruah, ha, Kodesh. Kodesh. And so here is a blueprint. And what I want to try to go over, give you guys an idea. And it'd be good if you have your Bibles too. With some of these verses, we'll go there. Actually, turn to Colossians 1:16. Kind of start off there. And then you might even zoom in a little bit, but I got excited because Yahweh has been showing me these things anyways as He's communicating to me, kind of having a concept. Where are we going? What are we doing? Going to Colorado with little kids? Are we there yet? It used to be Esther's favorite thing to ask because she's bored. She doesn't know where she's going. We'll be there soon. Colossians 1:16. Dad, would you read it?
Because in Him were created all things, in the heavens and upon the earth, things seen and the things unseen, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, they all, through Him and for Him, have been created, and He is before all, and they all in Him hold together.
And who is He talking about?
Christ.
Christ, the Mashiach, Yehoshua, Jesus Christ. And who created Jesus Christ? His Father Yahweh. And in Colossians, towards the end of the whole book, Yahweh says, none of this would even be here if Yahweh didn't want Christ. What does that mean? Well, in the beginning, there was an earth. Now the continents weren't divided yet because they weren't divided with Peleg. Okay? It was a supercontinent. What was Yahweh looking at? Here's an eye looking. It just says David or somebody looking to build something. Here's Donald Trump with the art of the deal. He had a vision for Trump Towers. What he wanted, this real estate, he had an idea, and then it got better and better. Yahweh sees things in perfection. What did Yahweh want? He wanted His Son. He wanted a family. And we're, okay, what is he, because what's the first thing he told Adam and Eve to do? Be fruitful and multiply, subdue the land. So what does he want? He wants kids. Now, what's different, and it's going to be kind of a comparison and contrast with your life and my life and what we're used to and what Yahweh is expecting. Because He wants a family. Right? What's family? Esther? Blood, right? Mm-hmm. Same mom, same dad. What does Yahweh say family is? Mark 3:35. He says, it's neat with the footnote with Rothman. He says, who is my brother, my sister, my mother? Those who do my Father's will are a brother or sister of mine. You want to know, what is a family?
Those who follow.
Obedience. Family is freedom of will. Yahweh doesn't want hostages in paradise. What does He want? Freedom of will. If you don't want to be there, you don't got to go. We're going to Hawaii. I don't want to go. Stay. See you later. And there's some people that vouch out. You can see some believers or stuff at the end of their race. You're going to go, what happened? I don't think they want to go anymore. And you could even ask him, would you like to go to a place where there is no death, there is no pain? I would. What's the catch? Well, there's also going to be no lust of the eyes or lust of the flesh, vain grandeur of life. There's going to be no fornication, no stealing, no, but it's going to be righteous. There's going to have a job. And some people are saying, no. What would that tell you? Don't waste your time. They don't want to go. And you don't want to take somebody hostage to Hawaii. Can you imagine? Just get a visual of what it's like to take your whole family to Hawaii and you took somebody a hostage. They're tied up. They're going to ruin everything. What would Yahweh say? He wanted a new earth. This is Revelation 20. Now, I do have water in here, so you can tell what it is. Is there going to be oceans?
No.
There's no oceans. The sea will be no more, Revelation. So Yahweh gives us a glimpse. And there's a neat thing with any book or article. If you want to know the concept of what's going on in here, read the first four chapters, last four chapters, and you get about everything except for the sacred secret. You don't know anything about the body of Christ, because that was a secret nobody knew. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit. Nobody knew that. But other than that, where we started, where we're going, but what was the purpose of Adam and Eve? Make kids. What are those kids? What's the purpose of those kids?
Make kids?
We're going somewhere. Choose. Choose you this day. Death and life is in front of you. You choose.
Yeah.
And what does Yahweh want? This is it. This is His desire. How are we going to get there? And how is He going to get to the new earth? Through Christ. It was going to be a perfect man, the second Adam, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first Adam that blew it all. But we know from Colossians that the main intention of all of this was the new earth through Christ, the new creation. The difference between these people and this earth, this is where we are, people have freedom of will. People do wicked things. We look at the Democratic Party is doing to our country right now. This is the Democratic Party doing this to our country. With the Chinese flu, with voter fraud, they're trying to throw it. We all know who it is.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to paradise with those people?
No.
Do you think Yahweh wants them there? No. But then, what? Everybody gets a chance. They get a choice. Choose what you want to do. In this life, Yahweh says it's a vapor. It's gonna be gone just like that. Grandma Mary's turning 99 this year, and she talks about how quick it goes. It goes. Yeah, and Yahweh goes, choose really wise. He says through the Gospels over and over and over again about good stewards. And then the boss is going to come back. What'd you do? I didn't do anything. Stinking thinking. We're going somewhere. When's the last day you got? When's the last breath you have? When are you going to die? When is Christ coming back? You have no idea. Get to work. I don't want to work. That's your choice. It's like a pyramid. I like a whole pyramid. Because we know that Christ is going to be the king for the 1,000 years in the book of Revelation. He's going to be rewarded like nobody's going to be rewarded. Underneath the pyramid is going to be everybody else. What is your job going to be? What's it going to be like? We have a kind of an idea. That where your heart is, there your trouble is. Your treasure is. If you have no idea what job you're going to be doing here, how are you going to get through this life? Is it going to be investments? Is it going to be architecture? Is it going to be an auditor? Is it going to be some sort of hunting? Well, there's no hunting there. What are you going to do? I don't know. Get moving. Start thinking about what you're going to be doing. And Yahweh gives us these things, these parables. Be thinking. You can do whatever you want. And when I was in high school, I thought I was really smart. And then when I got to college, it turns out that I knew like 6 people that became doctors, MDs, medical doctors, practitioners. And guess what? I didn't even know they were smart.
Yeah.
I really didn't. They never bragged or anything. They didn't need to brag. But they had straight A's through high school, middle school. Then they did great in college. These people had a vision. They were going somewhere. They went without. And then I'm working for a guy who's a doctor now. He just got started. His debt is incredible. He went through 8 years of college and then other things. While other people have cars and families and vacations. And he's broke as whatever. Why? He was going somewhere. Where are you going? And this is where we get to tell people. Why do you speak in tongues? Why do you do interpretation? Why are you not embarrassed of Yahweh's name? Everybody's embarrassed of Yahweh's name. Well, first of all, He's listening. Second of all, His son, who's going to be running everything, that I'm going to be kneeling, He's going to give me my job. And I don't want to offend the boss. Can you imagine somebody working for Trump Enterprises that doesn't like the name Trump. There's going to be a job there. We've got a place for you. Toilets right down there. You're embarrassed in the boss's name? Okay, why would you say that? Because if you don't bow down to your knee to what common Christians teach today, you're out of the church. You got to blend in. You better go find a denomination. And you're going to go, well, golly. And then you go, wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. And my job is not necessarily to blend in. My job is to become what He has called me to do. Each one of you, there's a purpose. There's a plan. The Yahweh has, we can see this. What is His desire for your life? You have freedom of will. So what do? He's not in control of your freedom of will. You can't have Him in control and have freedom of will. You have your freedom of will, and it's up to you to go to Him and say, what do you want to do with this life? What do you desire? And then He'll start working. He'll start teaching. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. Dad gave me a teaching from Andrew Womack. Probably 90% of Andrew Womack's stuff I don't agree with. I think it's wicked. But this following the desires of your heart is incredible. He stirs a desire. Philippians 2:13. If you were in the Word, if you were like we are right now in the Word, with that kind of manifestations, the people in here want to hear from Yahweh. What are the desires you have right now with your job or with your work? Philippians 2:13 said it is Yahweh that desires, that stirs, does both the desiring and the energizing in behalf of His good pleasure. What are these desires? A lot of times they don't make any sense. I see one right there. The little girl wasn't your desire. Pep talk. Where are we going? From Colossians 1:16. Go turn to Jeremiah 21:8. And it's good to be correcting people. You're going to have to, in order to help people, you got to correct them. I manage people's life savings. I'm blessed. I'm very, very blessed that I got trained by my father. And here's people that ran their own money for their whole life. Now they're going to hire me to run it. And then they start saying things that's very, very wrong concepts on how to manage your money. Well, who the heck are you? This is my money. I earned it. I got $1 million in 30 years. I said, hey, you want me to advise you? Or do you want me to follow orders? And I had this guy, he was really ticked. He goes, didn't cost me anything, does it? I said, no, it doesn't. And he goes, okay, advise me. I go, this wealthy man accumulated all this stuff. I said, you're telling me, your advisor, to sell at a low and to buy this at a high. That's what you want me to do. He goes, well, that sounds really stupid. I'll do it. And guess what I had to do? I had to step on his toes. I corrected him. He goes, I do want you to do it because our time horizon is 10 years. And I go, I agree. But I had to sit there. And you're going to have to do the same thing. When somebody says Yahweh's in control, you say you can't have freedom of will and Him in control. And you're going to really hurt their feelings. Do you believe in freedom of will? Yes, I do. He's not in control. And that's actually how you get to help people. Jeremiah 21, verse 8.
Jeremiah 21? I think it's 28.
The 21, verse 8.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. And so, we're just going to read a little excerpt out of here. And this is like a refrain. A refrain is something that keeps going over and over and over and over again. And I was reading here Jeremiah. Man, could I do what Jeremiah did? I guarantee you Jeremiah was thinking about the new earth, the rewards. What's worth this? You kidding me? Verse 8, would somebody read that for me?
And unto this people shalt thou say, thus saith Yahweh, behold me, setting before you the way of life and the way of death.
It is death and life. Life and death. Choose. Each day. Choose. And it's the refrain. I've set life and death in front of you. I have given you freedom of will. Choose life. What are you going to do? And so, here's some really neat things. I thought they were neat. Here's Yahweh in the beginning. He wants a new earth. Well, he wants a family, right? But everybody's going to be there. There's going to be a family according to Mark 3:35. Those who choose to obey, that want to be there. So that's the family. Okay, that makes sense, right? He also wants, see this huge cube? What the heck is that? Actually, I wanted it on the top of here, but as I started drawing, this had the Middle East over here, and Jerusalem's in the Middle East. So now, it's kind of out of view. It's the New Jerusalem. Mount Everest right here. You got how tall is Mount Everest? The tallest object on our planet. You see this right here? How tall is it? 5.5 miles. Revelation chapter, when we turn to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to find out about that red cube over there. What the heck is that thing? And actually, you can Google this. And people got all kinds of things about this. It's all even bigger than what I put. You're like, what is that? It's where we're going, guys. We should know about that thing. What is it? Mom, would you read?
21 what?
21:10, and then I'll tell you where to stop.
And he carried me away in spirit unto a mountain great and high, and pointed out to me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her luster, like unto a stone most precious, as a jasper stone shining as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city having 12 foundations, and upon them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that was talking with me had for a measure a reed of gold, that he might measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city four square lieth, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 cubits, the measure of a man, which is the measure of a messenger. And the structure of the wall thereof was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. The foundations of the wall of the city...
That's good. We can stop there. What are we reading about here? That's where we're going. I mean, Alex, would it be neat to see the Solomon's temple in his glory?
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that book. It gets me excited. You see some stuff that has the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Holies, what they believe it might look like. You're going to go, you know how big my eyes got? Well, this is where we're going. And here's what, you want to know how big this city is? Mount Everest is 5.5 miles high. This city is 1,380 miles high. It's about 1,400 miles high. Donald Trump. It doesn't exist yet, guys. It specifically says it's going to be lowered down out of the heavens. Maybe it's already built, President Trump. He's going to need somebody for whatever. He's going to go, well, we're going someplace. How would you like a job there? 1,400 miles high. This is a city. Now, here's what E.W. Bullinger is going to say about this city. E.W. Bullinger is going to say, it's the holy city is presented to us a perfect cube. In Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube. What was the purpose of the Holy of Holies? For Yahweh, the creator of the universe, to spend time with his kids. All this mess in between the two earths is because of freedom of will. But Yahweh is so patient. And we're going somewhere, and you can see the torture that happened to the Egyptians during the plagues. What was the purpose? Some people turned.
Yeah.
Yahweh is so patient. Some people turn at the last. And they go, that's it, I'm in. And Yahweh goes, good, got another one. What's the purpose? We want to populate this thing. They're in. The torture is going to happen in Revelation. The wicked people, some people are going to turn. We don't need to be tortured. We're already in. Then we get this concept. It is 254 Mount Everest tall. That's how big the city is. It's a perfect cube. You're going to go, look, the United States, it is 52% the same size land mass as the continental United States. It is as big as the state of Texas, approximately, and just as tall. I'm thinking, well, I started reading it, I started thinking, man, I don't know how this thing's going to spin evenly. Because you got that much weight on there, you're going to need some sort of, because when you put a tire on, they got to put little weights on the tire, right? That thing's going to be really out of round. I'm like, well, I guess he's got a plan for that too. He's got a plan. This is where we're going. The Holy of Holies. They're going to go, man, here's a city. And what is the purpose of all this? And why wasn't this all laid out in Genesis? You said it at the very beginning. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. The purpose of your life is to seek out the unknown God, the invisible God. To seek Him out. Where is He? He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. And there's always more. There's always more. Have you ever gotten content? No, I'm playing.
I'm playing.
I can see it burning out. I'm ready for hunting season. I got a position. Maybe I'll get a little bit of playing time. Maybe I won't. That's fine. But it's up to you, right? But if you control this thing, this 8 pounds of gray matter inside your head, you're going to say, Yahweh, is there something that I should be considering? And he might say, how would you like safety? How would you like to be on SportsCenter? What? And then he goes, yeah. And then he starts showing you, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to settle? Are you going to do whatever you're going to do? Well, it's too late in my life. It's too late. That's always going to be the war inside of us. We'll turn to it. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to the city. Who is the only friend of Yahweh in scriptures?
Moses.
No.
Moshe.
No.
Oh.
Abraham.
Yes. Abraham. And we're learning how to say their names.
Abraham.
And we're learning why. Well, because one day...
we're going to meet them.
We're going to have to say their name right. We're going to actually meet these people. David, Moshe, I'm getting close.
Moshe.
It's not Solomon, it's Shalomo. Oh, it's not Philistines, it's polished tea or something like that. I'm getting closer, but even if I was going to, when we went to Puerto Rico, I start practicing my Spanish, and then other gringos make fun of me, right? But the Spanish people don't. No, roll your R. I feel like an idiot. You'll be thankful if you practice work rolling your R, right? Anyways, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Mom, would you read that?
By faith, being called, Abraham and obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth, not well knowing whether he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land, in tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having foundations whose architect and builder is God.
Yahweh. What was he looking for? The same thing you and I are supposed to be looking for. That where your heart or your treasure is going to be. So maybe you'll be a teacher in this building. I don't know. You want to be the bottom 20 percentile or the top 10? I never thought that far. Think about it. How good you want to be. There's a whole other thing. Look at Amy Coney Barrett. The girl's barely older than me. Do you think she has high standards?
Yeah.
Holy, obviously she has abilities that I don't have anything close to. But this person was aiming high. And she's a Supreme Court justice before she's 50 years old. Where are you going to be? Which office are you going to have? What's your job going to be? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
But Abraham, how did Abraham, the father of our faith, endure? Because like Dad said, Hebrews 11 is about endurance and certainty. Because faith is certainty. Are you going there? Yeah. If you really believe you were going there, you would certainly be acting a little bit different. So there's Abraham. Right there, Jesus Christ endured the death of the cross. Why? What was in front of him? What did he use his imagination? The glory that was set before him. And you look at this, you look at it over and over again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. We don't have to go there. But it's going to be talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to find about the first Adam, which is mankind, and the second Adam, Christ Jesus. The first Adam did this, the second Adam. You ever seen that where somebody was born into the right family and they squandered it all? Y'all can relate. And then Yahweh has another son that worked himself up from taking out trash in the mailroom and is now at his right hand. How proud is that? Do you think President Trump's proud of his kids? Do you think he just gave those positions out to his family?
Not him.
No, not him. You gotta earn it. You have to earn this thing. How much do you think that blesses that father that his children have achieved so much? Man, that's the purpose of this life. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, first Adam, the second Adam, kind of getting the concepts. Now we're going to kind of looking at what is not the family that Yahweh's talking about. Well, he's my blood. He's my brother. We grew up together. You don't understand this. I had a lot of this with Austin. Whenever I was trying to help Austin, he had wicked people holding him back. Well, you don't understand what we've been through. And I've been there too. But the thing is, you're never going to get to where you're supposed to be going looking in the rearview mirror. What did you have in common with him? Well, we're both going through hard times. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss this thing. Yahweh will take care of those people. He will. And I'm convinced if Satan or the adversary can't stop you, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw people in your life that occupy all your time. You got to help this person. You got to help this person. And here's the same person, Rachel, back in a rut. Again. You want Satan to stop using those people? Stop helping them. Because it's a successful bait. And I'm not meaning to pick on you, but that's me too. It's the same person over and over again. He doesn't need to stop you. He just turns you around by it. And I don't want to give him too much authority, but you can see if it's not the adversary, that's our own adversaries holding us back. We're looking at the same problems. People that don't want to go. Hey, if you don't want to go, you don't have to... people that were born into the family was Cain. And Cain, what did he do? He renounced his citizenship or his sonship by murdering his brother. Man. Amnon. Who is Amnon? The firstborn of King David. What did Amnon do?
Oh.
He raped his sister. Mm-hmm. He said he was sick. He was sick. This is great for teenagers because you're going to think you're in love with somebody. That's what people will tell you. You're meant to be with somebody. Say, yeah, so did Amnon.
His friends raped, told him to.
But he had it in bad counsel too.
Bad people.
He rapes his sister and then he despises her. That's the lust of the flesh for you teenagers and stuff. And you'll have it. You'll say, what did you do? But what was Amnon? What should have happened to Amnon? Yahweh does not reprove King David except for Bathsheba. But what should have happened to Amnon? He should have been put to death or whatever the Levitical law was for raping the king's daughter? Are you kidding me? Why did he get away with it? Yahweh doesn't point it out, but you can look at it. You should have got rid of Amnon. If you would have got rid of Amnon, maybe Absalom would have, could have, but yeah. In our own lives. That's blood, but that's blood. It is not blood. Obedience is blood. Obedience is what Yahweh is looking for, and it's what you and I are supposed to be looking for. It's where we're going. Absalom, what did he do? Golly. Here's Absalom's going to kill his own father. It didn't start off that way. And he got bad counsel. Hey, people think that the two of you are going to get back together after you chase his dad off. Yeah, the people aren't really going to unite underneath you, Absalom, because they think you and your dad get back together. Well, what should we do? I have an idea. Burn the bridge with you and your dad. Have sex with all his concubines in front of everybody. Okay. That's his son. That is not family. And when people act like that, they're not family. You should say, you're not family. That's not my family. We might have blood, but that's not my family. Who is my family? This is my family. I've been betrayed by blood. Who cares? So what? Is there to Nabat, Dab, and Abihu? These were Aaron's sons. What happened to them?
Well, when you're pretty.
They were blood. These are Moses' nieces and nephews. Brought strange fire to Yahweh. And what did Yahweh do? He nuked them. And then what did Yahweh command Aaron? You're not going
to
mourn. Not even mourn over this person. That is not blood. And so the purpose of this life also is if you tell people that's not my family, what are they going to look at you? Are they going to look at you and go, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a good Christian woman. You're just discarding people. What are you going to get the chance to do? You've never seen the blueprint of this life, have you? What are you talking about? You don't know the purpose of your life? The purpose of your life is where we're going. You know, every single one of you have been given a Garden of Eden, just like Adam and Eve. What are you doing with it? Are you taking care of your business? Are you taking care of your family? Are you taking care of your cars or your bills? What are you doing with it? All of that is tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. We're building a resume as an audition for where we're going. And when people start getting to see this peculiar people, which we're supposed to be, they go, how did you do that? You're going to go, Jesus Christ says, that's not my family. Jesus Christ would have said, Peter's my family. Judas, he had a brother named Judas, is not. Not at this moment. I hope Judas doesn't want any. And then what we get to do is we get to help people. We're going to go, because otherwise people have no idea where we're going here, and all they have in this gap is to hold on to their own blood. So all I have, you're going to go, and that's where we're going. I'm here to set you free. I don't want to be free. Good luck. Do you know anybody that wants freedom? Because I got a sales pitch. Psalms 37, chapter 4. You need to think about that. You're going to go, now I've been abandoned. Everybody in here has been abandoned. Right? Well, how many people got to abandon you before you quit? Well, let's look at Gideon. Let's look at King David. How many people abandoned Abraham? How many people came and went with Abraham's life? I have no idea. Who cares? But Abraham was not abandoning Yahweh. And we're going to see the great ones. They stay focused. And just like President Trump, so are you. So President Trump is running the United States. Yeah, but Yahweh's got you in a position. He's got you in a position. Well, I'm just a single man with a house in Wichita, Kansas. He's watching. Go, what can you do with it? 37 verse 4, would you read that for me? Somebody?
I will.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Sorry. Yea, rest thy delight on Yahweh, that he may give thee the requests of thy heart. Keep going? Or am I wrong?
No, that's right.
Okay.
And there's some really, really neat things with some of these words here. I'm going to try to stay on topic, but my heart rate's up. This word, rest your delights on Yahweh. Let me see here. Also here is... verse 4. But wait, rest your delights on Yahweh, and he'll give you what? The request of your heart. He understands you're going to burn out. He's more worried about burnout than you are. You too. You got one game left. You got three practices left. I'm about ready to burn out. I've been there, man. You're not a senior. I got next year. But okay, whatever you're burning. And then verse 5, roll on Yahweh. When? Trust also in him, and he will effectively work. It's a neat thing about this word "roll." Is this? It's Strong's number 1556. It's galal. It means commit, remove, roll down, run down. I like run it down. And the delights that Yahweh also with this word delight. This is one that really got me. The delights. Rest thy delight. What does that mean? Not quite sure. I have an idea. The Hebrew word delight. Strong's number is 6026. It's anag. It's to be soft. To be delicate. To be dainty. Another one of the words there is even effeminate.
Yeah.
Now, effeminate is a man acting like a woman. And Yahweh's not using it in a sexy way. Or a sexual immorality way, but you can see somebody that, you ever seen somebody that's so excited, they're not acting confident or tough? Yahweh wants you to rest your, become soft, to become dainty. They're so excited that you don't care what anybody thinks. That's what he's asking you and I to do. What topic in your life that if you start talking about it, you start weeping immediately? That's what he wants to talk to you about. Tears of joy. It's so sensitive. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get my hopes up. I get so emotional. There'll be some things that I have no idea why. I start talking about it and I become a big puddle of melted ice cream. crying and tears and faces swollen. I just lost control. What is that? I don't know, but make a note. What just happened to you, Aaron? And that's what Yahweh wants with you. He says in Proverbs, guard your heart. He tells you to guard your heart. He also tells you in Proverbs that nothing is as deceitful as that thing. Remember that, teenagers.
Don't follow your heart.
This is one of the most deceitful things, your flesh. Yahweh tells you to guard it, be leery of it, but when it comes to Him, be dainty. What subjects do you have that make you very emotional? That if you even start talking about it, I gotta stop, I'm gonna start crying. Identify those things. Because Yahweh's trying to get you from here to here. And He wants to bless you more than you could ever imagine to hear, but I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm tired of getting my hopes up. I'm tired of getting let down, right? That's your flesh. That's that heart thing He's warning you about. Tell that thing to shut up. When you come into the throne room, when you come into the Holy of Holies, when you circumcise your heart, let it all out. And then you say, let's talk. Let's talk about that, because I don't know maybe you don't have anything that makes you emotional. Maybe you have a problem. Shouldn't there be something that if you start talking about it, you melt? I don't know. Everybody's a little bit different. But if you look up that word, anog, 6026, it's a very neat word. The word trust is Strong's number 0982. So get dainty, then to roll down with Yahweh. Roll with Yahweh. We had it with United Flight. They said, let's roll. When they took out this, roll down with Yahweh. And then also the word trust is to have confidence. Isn't that neat? That's where we get a mom from. That's where faith is confidence, is certainty. Are you certain you're going here? Are you certain that He can give you the desires of your heart? What's missing? I don't know. When was the last time you started bawling? I don't know. But I do know one thing. When a guy named Greg Phelps, I got to see his picture yesterday. I downloaded it. I didn't like the picture of him at all. His daughter posted it. Because Yahweh went, that's the man. I went, that is the man. I was a 19-year-old. I thought it weighed 260. Tough guy. This guy came up asking me to give me a prayer. Pray for me. Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't want him to pray for me. But he prayed for my sisters, and they started crying. I ain't no sissy. I'm going to back down. I'm like, yeah, let me have it. 2 minutes later, I'm moping. I'm not moping. I'm weeping. There's snot pouring out of my face. Tears pouring out of my face. I didn't understand half the stuff the guy's talking about. Aaron, you're going to travel the world. I went to Mexico once. I've been to Texas twice. What are you talking about travel? You're going to teach teachers. Put them on a firm ground on the foundation. I had no idea. But what I do know is my whole body changed. And I had snot. My face was swollen up. And that was my first prophecy. That is the dainties. That's that word I know. And that's what prophecy kind of crossed that bridge. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I think if we're going to be accountability partners for one another, we should say, what's your secret? And guard your heart, because some people, they're not going to be good at it. Be ready. If you start talking about somebody with your secret thing, they might shut it down immediately. Guard your heart. But it should be, what is the desires of your heart that makes all of this worth it? Well, I don't need anything, really. Because Christ did. I don't need any more rewards. And that's fine. Maybe we're looking at a bottom level cubicle. Or maybe we're not thinking enough. We could be content. It's up to us. It's freedom of will. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35. So this is just going to be about people that aren't family. Or people who choose not to be family. Because King Saul, as far as we know, was a righteous king for 20 years. Right? Mm-hmm. And here's Samuel. Samuel anointed the guy. And then Nathan with Edersheim, he says, when he anointed Shamuel, or Shaul, you know what they did that night? Saul spent the night with Samuel. He spent the night as a sleepover. How am I going to be the king of Israel? You kidding me? And Edersheim says, Shaul and his assistant would have slept on the roof. That's what they would have done back in these times. And he believes that, you know what they did that night? He believes Samuel and Saul talked. What about this? What about that? What about this other thing? And here's Saul learning, how can this be? How can that be? And here would have been Samuel going, you got this. Later on, what happens to Saul? Saul doesn't want to go anymore. He becomes very evil, wicked. And in verse, what did I say, 15, 35? What page is that?
304.
Thanks. You guys see footnote 8 at the very bottom?
Mm-hmm.
I know Isaiah would be all over that. Eli, will you read that footnote?
Oh, this will make it cry.
Which footnote?
Other page. This could be the footnote. No, there you go.
Okay. So, wait.
Sorry.
This, no, right here.
No. 304,
okay.
Page 304.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. This gives a touching glimpse of Samuel. He pinned for Saul, yet as Yahweh had definitely rejected the son of Kish, Samuel prudently kept a distance. His loyalty to Elohim was uppermost.
What does that mean? The word is pine. I don't know.
It's pine.
Next page. I'm trying to get to my two chapters for the way. What does pine mean?
Grieved.
The word pine, we can ask. You can get Strong's Concordance and Numbering System for $11 and do what I did. And then for like another $40, you can have the Theological Word Book. I can start looking at these things. And Yahweh's waiting for each one of us to open up one word. The word pine is Strong's number H0056 or 56. It's a ball. It means to lament, to mourn, to bewail. And if you want to know a lot about a word, you see how the author uses that word. This same word was used in Genesis 37:34 when Jacob, abal, or mourned, Joseph is dead. How do you think Jacob felt when his son was dead? He ripped his clothes. He tore his clothes. He was broken. I look at, before I read that, you're messing me up. I would see Samuel as this tough guy. Do you come peaceably? Lightning and thunders, boom, 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 boom. But you forget, he had his heart broke. He hurt. And he mourned so, here's the same word also, when Joseph died, it said the Egyptian, they pined this word for like 30 some days. And it was used over and over again when Aaron died. And then and I believe this is also when Aaron's sons died, you know, Yahweh says you're not going to do that because they're evil. No, it's my blood. That is not your blood. That is evil. This is your blood. You got that, Aaron? No, that's my blood. That is not your blood. This is your blood. This is your blood. Faith comes by hearing. Where are you going? And even with Shaul, then at that point, it could have been a 20-year relationship. Have you ever had a 20-year relationship with a really neat believer? Understatement, I was not anointed to be king.
Right.
And then it's broken. He missed it. What happened? And then later on, guess what Yahweh tells Samuel? No more pining. That's it. But he let him do it. You're going to mourn. You're going to pine. It's going to happen. I can't see my dad pining. He's too tough. he's rock hard. Nothing hurts that guy, right? He's grinning. You're going to go, so it looks. And Yahweh's going to point. Sometimes you have to pick. You're not my family. And this is actually how we help people. You change the number. You're out. There is no fellowship with light with darkness. Well, why not? I'm going this way. I can't have fellowship with you and Yahweh. You want to come with me? Repent. Get rid of your stuff. Get rid of the Democratic Party or whatever it is. Get going. But Samuel with the mourning. I never saw that. Thank you, Rotherham. Your life is a job interview. It doesn't matter how old you are. Do you know? Look, how old are you?
11.
Who was anointed king? David.
Are you 11 years old?
Not, maybe he's a kid. She's a kid in this room. Anybody can outwork anybody in Coke Industries. When I read Good Prophet, one of the formulas why Coke Industries is so successful, they said anybody can make more money than their supervisors if they can produce the profit. I can make more money than my dad? Yes.
And your coach?
Your coach, your teacher, so guess what happens in Coke? Competition. And everybody's working, working, working. And that's what Yahweh wants with us. Gonna go, okay. And so you could be a 10-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid, 30-year-old kid. You could be 90 years old, just getting started. I think about what all of us, our lives, and then here's where we're gone. We're gone. When is it going to happen? We don't know. Undercover boss going to pop in any moment. We know he'll give us the desires of our heart. Use your imagination. Find something that's worth it. And then go, whatever your focal point is, whatever it is, you got something big, makes you vulnerable, right? Then say, whatever Yahweh has for me is better than that. And you say, better than that. But get something that gets you moving, the carrot in front of the cart horse. And then here you go. And then when people start seeing you glowing, white hot, everybody's abandoning you. This guy keeps going. I think he likes it. Look at Donald Trump right now. He's a perfect guy. The man, he loves adversity, would appear. Keep praying for him. But looking at if you believe your life was a job audition, this is me too. Your job audition is to be acting like an Elohim, not a beast. Adam and Eve created the same day as the beast of the field. What are you going to act like? A beast? Your old man? You're going to chew her out? You're going to slam a door? You're going to open pornography? What are you going to do, right? Or are you going to act like an Elohim? Each day, did you act like an Elohim or like a beast? Because it's a job interview. Because guess what you're going to have to act like here? Like Jesus Christ did. Peace, be still. Fig tree, you're dead. You're out. You're acting like an Elohim. What's coming out of your mouth? Future discourse? You're going to go, okay, all right, whatever it is. You're going to say, are you acting like an Elohim? Each single day. And then you could be refining and transforming. And he says, be not conformed to the same, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To then you may prove the thing, will of Yahweh, good, acceptable, and telios. You want to know what Yahweh's will is for your life? You got to renew this thing. I am a son of the creator of the universe. I can speak to things. I can change my carpet. I can change the paint on the wall. I can raise the dead. I'm going to practice with wrinkles on my sheets. Do it. Because your whole life is an audition. What are you doing with the life you got? And you practice it. I got to do it one time, and this was not... I can't take a whole lot of credit for it. I was getting ready to go coach a football game. This is when I was very... You think I'm cocky now? You should have saw me in my 20s. That's horrible. I'm going to go coach a football team on a Friday, so I take Fridays off to go coach. And I had my tight shirts on, so I made sure I looked big because I was a short... I'm always the smallest guy on the football team, the coach's team. They're all 6'3". So then they'll give me huge shirts down to here, so I look like a midget. So I'll shorten those things up. Yeah, you like that? That was me. I'm going to be on the sideline, acting like a maniac, getting a lot of attention because I'm the drill sergeant. I was not where I needed to be. But anyways, I come back to the house before the football game. I forgot my shirt hasn't been washed from last week. I wash it. I don't know how to wash stuff. And then I go do my other stuff. I come back and the shirt's all wrinkled. It is so bad that I'm going, I got to learn how to iron. Now! I got like 45 minutes because it was going to be really embarrassing. So I took out the iron. I got it. It's not hot. I'll let it heat up. So I walked off. Did my own thing. I'm not just going to sit here waiting on the iron. I came back. Whoa, that thing is hot. I set it down like this. And I pulled back up. And the whole shirt turned black. The same thing as the iron on the back of my coaching shirt. And I washed it, changed the color. And I went, oh no! Oh no! Jesus Christ, I rebuke this burn in the name of Christ. You will not. Then I started speaking in my panic. You will not. And guess what started happening? It started dissipating. It started reversing. And I fell down on my knee. And I went, oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. But the thing was, is that, you know, Yahweh got to use that. And that was me messing around. And that wasn't a big thing. But if you practice that stuff, are you guys astonished that that worked?
No.
Of course it worked.
Bleach ones.
But we acted. We live it out. And so the blueprint, the sales pitch, don't get distracted by people that don't want to go. That's fine. But maybe you can, for those people that are kind of hanging in there, the best way to lead somebody is by showing them. Look at this girl. She radiates. Look at this life she has. She's so different. She wears Trump stuff. She says Yahweh. She homeschools. Are you kidding me? Who swims up that many currents? She's right there. How do you do it? And then you go, I speak in tongues more than you all, or whatever. And then, but anyways, there's our blueprint, the Holy of Holies. And Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these believers here, and we thank you for the words that you're going to speak through me to your children. And we thank you, Father, that we can be like the Holy of Holies. Know that my plans are better than anything you could ever imagine, but I need you to stretch your imagination, because your imagination is so small. Your imagination is like a small closet in your head. And you're wanting the creator of the universe, who can't even be contained in the Milky Way galaxy, to squeeze in this small little imagination closet you have. I need you to make your imagination the biggest room there is. And actually, when you step into your imagination, it should be like you leaving the stratosphere, going out into outer space, where it looks like it's all void. It's not void. There's things everywhere. I need you to start stretching your imagination like that. And as you do so, then I will be able to give you the desires of your heart. You want to know what's missing? Your faith and your imagination, and you'll get these things through Christ. Amen.